It's Thursday, August 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And I've got a great show lined up for you, even though a little bit weird getting started tonight. But you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of New Mexico via the Geek News Central portable studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and of course, I am on travel here with the stuck in a hotel room for one last night before I head back to Honolulu. And it's been an interesting week, very trying from a bandwidth standpoint. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But of course, I want to welcome all of you to the show, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter contains all the things I'm going to talk about during the show, and it'll go out immediately following the show via email. And that way, you'll be able to stay abreast of what's happening. Well, I tell you, I've had a great week here. We're going to have two meetups. Actually, had a meetup yesterday and met with Jay, had dinner with him, talked about his podcast. And, of course, I'll have a link up to his show here at the end of in the show notes tonight. He does a new Linux podcast, so I think you guys will enjoy it. And he's striving for perfection, and I think he's on his way to doing so. So I'll have that link to Jay's show up in the show notes. And then tomorrow I'm going to meet a meeting with Sam and Pete for lunch, and just didn't work out to have a evening with them, so we're going to meet and have Frontier Burritos. I can't wait. But hope everyone has been doing well. I've been doing good, been very busy here. Weather in Albuquerque has been on the hot side. We had a huge lightning and lightning storm last night. They got some rain. They desperately need more rain here, as they do in Texas and other parts of the country. Of course, I think those of you that are on the East Coast, you're probably about ready to get more rain than you ever really wanted. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all of you that have a hurricane getting ready to land in your backyard. I know that my sister is in Chesapeake, Virginia, and she's going to be in the path of this thing, and of course even they're saying as far up as New York City as well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that this thing veers to the right and spares North Carolina and all the East Coast states. But I think it's going to be a wet one irregardless this weekend for those of you living on the East Coast. But of course, I want to give again a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. And good news, I scored OhanaNews.com. I was made aware of it. There was an auction by one of our Ohana, and I had to bid on it. I bid a little more than I really wanted to. I ended up paying $201 for the domain. It was about probably $125 more than I wanted to spend, but I think we can do a lot with it. So if you've got an idea what we should do with the OhanaNews.com website, let me know. And we'll get something going on that as soon as they transfer the ownership to me. Of course, if you're a new listener, again, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you'll want to get subscribed to the show so that you'll never miss a single episode. There's RSS feeds there for all the shows that are part of the network. This show, which, of course, is Geek News Central. We've got Robot Underpants. We've got the Gadget Professors, Saturday Morning Tech, and the Chrome Show. There will be a Chrome Show this coming weekend, but there will not be any Saturday Morning Tech because I'm flying home on Saturday. And that will, you know, it is what it is. I vowed when I'm home I'll do the show, when I'm not, I'm not. But one of our writers gave us a great idea. One of the Geek News Central writers said, Todd, why don't you, on one of your Saturday morning techs, have all the Geek News Central writers in as part of the show? And I thought that was a great idea, so we're going to look forward to introducing you to all the Geek News Central writers in a Google Hangout in the near future. We'll feature as many of the Geek News Central writers as we can get on during the Saturday morning tech show. So no one knows tech better than they do, because they put all the tech content that is really up at Geek News Central on the website. Well, sign up for that newsletter. That way you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. You can find that link on the website as well. And, of course, you can watch us on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku and Boxy, and also on Samsung connected TVs. I tell you what, we had a I had a challenge here. I got done with the show Monday night, got it all encoded, finished up about 1 o'clock in the morning, started the upload, and I'm not kidding you, 24 hours plus later, the video finally finished uploading. That is how bad the bandwidth is here. It's just, I'm flabbergasted. I truly am on how bad the connectivity really is. And you know, I don't dare use my my 4G cards. I don't, because you know, once I upload a couple of shows, I'll be out of bandwidth. So, you know, from those cards' perspective, so it was really aggravating. It really was. But the show got up, and I'm pretty pleased with the process that I'm using now for on the road for doing the video. And of course, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on that as well. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors here. GoDaddy.com is one of our very longtime sponsors of the show. They've been sponsoring Geek News Central since June of 2005. And really, they help me keep the lights on and allow me to do what I do. So I want you to really think about picking up some domain names or a hosting account over at GoDaddy, because really, it helps me in the long run. But I've got a special deal this month. It's kind of unique. It allows you to basically set up your own business and become a reseller, where you can sell domains, hosting accounts. And this is a special limited time offer. And believe me, the time is drawing down on this. And you can get 30% off a new reseller plan just by using the promo code GEEK30. Now, I'll have a link up in the show notes to this special offer. Again, this is the first time I've ever seen this type of a discount. So if I just do the math here real quick on the basic reseller account, it's $9. You look at a year's worth of fee on that, it's $98. About $100 is what it would cost you for a year. You get 30% off, so it takes the price right down to around $70. And you can immediately become your own e-commerce, and you basically roll out your own e-commerce website and sell domain names and sell hosting accounts and make commissions on those. So definitely think about it. And if you're not looking for a reseller account, don't forget all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. I've heard some people have been having some challenges with the promo code ComSale and ComSale2, so I'm going to be checking with my buyer, or my administrator over there, to find out what's going on with those two promo codes. So if you're having trouble with the ComSale or ComSale2 promo code, just definitely email me and we'll get those turned back on for you if they've been turned off. This happens from time to time because my codes have been really in existence now for 6 years, and every once in a while they got to go in and do a refresh, and it's probably time for that to happen. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, of course. And again, all my promo codes are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Show 700 contest information on how you can win, and believe me, you've got great, there hasn't been a lot of people responding to our Show 700 contest offer. I've got some great prizes, and you've got an opportunity here to be on a very short list to win. All you got to do is answer the best you can 15 trivia questions, and I'll have those 15 trivia questions in the show notes tonight, or they're on the website at Geek News Central. All you got to do is go dig through the articles. It's in the beginning of the week is when I put it up. So if you want to be involved and have a chance to win some cool prizes on our show, on our 700th show on Monday night, please pay attention to this and get it. You know, get your chance to win. Okay, don't forget, or you might be on the short end of the stick when it comes to winning a prize here. If you got any prizes you want to give away, you definitely want to email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, and basically just say, hey, here's what I want to donate and make it available for our audience. Of course, if you get comments on today's show, you can call the hotline, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 619-342-7000. 3-6-5. If you have a website, please say it very clearly. Also pronounce your name so we can hear you well. Sometimes the recording, it's, you know, you just got to speak up when you're calling into the hotline the best you can. Okay, what else have I got going here? New edition of the Gadget Professor is already on the street. So check that out. And we want, of course, want to thank the Gadget Professor, Don, for putting that together and giving you some great content. You guys know that I've been really excited about the new Citrix GoToMeeting HD Faces. And you guys know that GoToMeeting is the way I meet with colleagues. And, you know, with this new high-definition group video conferencing feature, this has changed the game completely with this product. Again, this new product by GoToMeeting is called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And you can collaborate with anyone around the world with just a click of the button and face-to-face using your webcam. And I've got a webcam right here that I use, and just a simple Logitech webcam that I use with it and talk over it. You know, I've used GoToMeeting with the HD Faces. It's absolutely awesome. Facial expressions can express much more than words, and you can watch in a presentation to see if someone kind of winces. They almost can kind of forget that they're on with you on a video, so you're able to have that general business face-to-face type of atmosphere that you would have if you were sitting in the same room with the folks. And the video quality is so clear, natural, high resolution. It's the highest resolution in the industry, and really nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's easy to use, and all you need is an internet connection, a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It will change the way you work. As a Geek News Central listener, you can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Use the promo code PODCAST so we get our credit over there, okay? As we said in the beginning of the show, that Carbonite is a sponsor here too. We'll talk about them a little later, but believe me, you're going to want to get in on this trial of Carbonite. We'll talk about that as we get into the show. So let me look at my little list here. And I think I got a couple emails on some alternative ideas for the Plank Owner program. And I think it might be a good idea. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. And we'll maybe go a little more Hawaiian in nature than going nautical and planks. So we'll see. But looking forward to getting home. And the honey is already telling me I have a significant honey do list, but I'll have a few short days to work on that before I have to get busy again and start making sure that to keep the paycheck rolling in on Monday. All right, let me go ahead here and close this. And so I'll go ahead and save that, and let's go ahead and open the Chrome up tonight. Boy, I tell you, I mean, I was having so much problems with Verizon tonight that I switched over to my Sprint card, and that really made a big difference. Sprint has a much better signal in access here in Albuquerque than Verizon and their MiFi, that's for sure. And of course, it's still 3G, whereas the 4G connection to Sprint here is obviously a big difference. Well, big news, if you had to have been sleeping underneath a rock, and I really don't want to reiterate this because it's already a day old news, but boy, oh boy, Steve Jobs pulling the plug and walking away from Apple as its CEO. He's going to stay on as the chairman of the board. They've appointed Tim Cook as the new CEO, and he's already addressed the employees in a staff letter. He basically says to the Apple team that he's looking forward to the amazing opportunity of serving as CEO of the most innovative company in the world. Joining Apple was the best decision that he had ever made, and it's been the privilege of a lifetime to work for Apple and Steve for over 13 years, and he shares Steve's optimism for Apple's bright future. He says, Steve has been an incredible leader and mentor to me, as well as the entire executive team and an amazing employees. We're really looking forward to Steve's ongoing guidance and inspiration as our chairman. I want to be confident that Apple is not going to change. I cherish and celebrate Apple's unique principles and values. It says, Steve built a company and culture that is unlike any other in the world, and we're going to stay true to that in which it's to that it is in our DNA. We're going to continue to make the best products in the world that delight our customers and make our employees incredibly proud of what they do. He goes on to say, I love Apple and I'm looking forward to diving into my new role. All the incredible support from the board, the executive team, and many of you has been inspiring, confident our best years lie ahead of us, and that all together we will continue to make Apple the magical place that it is. And of course he signs it, Tim. So congratulations to Tim for his appointment. But what does this really mean to Apple? You know, really, who is Tim Cook? And, you know, Tim Cook is no dark horse of Apple whatsoever. Of course, the announcement caught many people by surprise, and it doesn't. It sounds a little scary, you know. If you can only wonder what's going on with Steve Jobs health wise, but you know, he has been Tim Cook has been with Apple, and since Steve Jobs came back to the company, and then at the time that he joined the company, he had done a 6-month stint at Compaq serving as their vice president of corporate materials, and then he was also the CEO of Intelligence Electronics and spent a far longer 12-year stretch at IBM serving as the director of North America fulfillment. So he's got some good chops in the PC background, so we'll see if his through his leadership, if Apple can continue to innovate. And of course, with Steve still on as chairman of the board, I'm sure that Steve is still going to have a heavy hand in the decision making of the products that they roll out. But obviously, he's going to be running the company's day-to-day operations, and he's got a big shoes to fill, that's for sure. But boy, he could not have had a better tutor or mentor in the space. You know, can you imagine having worked under the tutelage of Steve Jobs for 13 years and been there really kind of as a right-hand man, right in the same executive, you know, part of the executive team? And so some of that has to rub off over time. So I'm sure Apple is going to be fine. And let's just hope that Steve Jobs recovers and his health is obviously the part that really drove him to resign. It can be the only thing we can really think of. There's no other reason. We all know this. But I wish Steve best of health, and of course, good luck to Tim and the team at Apple, and see what they, you know, what they can produce for us here in the coming years. So I don't know. What's your guys' thoughts? What does this mean for Apple? What do you guys think? What do you think is this going to change dynamic? Was Steve Jobs the creative mind behind all the products? Are they going to be able to maintain their edge? You know, so they got some pretty tall shoes. You know, just in the product line, you think about it. The iPod was so revolutionary. The iPhone, the iPad. Of course, the revitalized line of computers, Stylish. It's tough. It's a tough gig to follow, really. You think about what they've done, and you know, to have so many home runs in a row, can they continue it? So, you know, what do you guys think? You know, of course, Microsoft is not helping themselves in this game at all. There's some speculation out here that Windows 8 is such a radical change that it could cause a following out among Windows loyalists. So only time will tell, but we'll have to watch this closely, and I'm sure the stock market will be as well. And hopefully the team, you know, the team there's got to be, you know, it's not one person doesn't drive a whole company, obviously. And I'm sure Apple employees probably get a little sick and tired of only hearing about Steve Jobs, because really there's thousands of people that work there, and I'm sure each and every one of them does a huge amount of, has a big influence on all the products and services. So we'll see where this goes and how it develops over time. Now, on a bigger, well, at least on a geeky side, as big of an announcement was that Commander Taco, he is the individual, of course, that founded Slashdot. His actual real name is Rob Malda, and he's stepping aside from the pioneering online community Slashdot, which he founded 14 years ago. Of course, Slashdot has now been owned by a multitude of companies. And the slash dot effect was the first, you know, was basically the thing that everyone feared. You wanted to be on Slashdot, but at the same time you prayed your servers could handle it. And now it's called the Twitter effect or the Facebook effect, and so everyone's kind of copied that. But and congratulations to Rob, Commander Taco, for doing everything he's done with Slashdot. And, you know, I use on this show, usually there's two or three articles from Slashdot every episode. And so we'll see what he has in plan, or what he plans to do next. Very talented guy, so I'm sure he's leaving pretty rich, I would think. And we will see where it goes from here. But I think he made a lot of money in the early days when they were acquired. Time will, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I assume he did, you know, as popular as the site was. All right. Scoble has a pretty good article on Facebook's new privacy settings and sharing defenses. And I'll be honest with you, Facebook changes their privacy settings and policies as often as people change their underwear. But Scoble goes into saying that their new privacy and sharing defenses are quite nice. And apparently they learned some things along the way and are trying to, you know, regain consumers' trust. So what they've done is they've simplified the UI so folks can figure out groups a lot more. They're giving users a lot more control over who gets on their feed, particularly when they are tagged in photos. You now can see what a profile looks like to another user. They have a much simpler privacy page. They're trying to do some education to help users understand how to make these education processes to help users understand the privacy settings. And there's a whole bunch of stuff here. And you can remove your tag. You can change your profile settings. All kinds. There's just a whole bunch of stuff they've changed here. I'll be honest with you. I have not been into Facebook to look at this. I haven't had time this week. But a lot of people are saying a lot of positive things about the changes over there. But I think we all should go over there and take a look at our Facebook settings, because usually when they make changes, usually they open stuff up much further than I want them to. But if any of you have had experience with the new Facebook privacy settings, I'd love to hear your feedback on it and if you think it was a good move by Facebook or not. I had a little bit of an aha moment tonight when I was doing the show prep, and it really wasn't too much substance to the article. But here's the crux of it. Do you want Best Buy or any other company opening your new laptop and installing software on it? Think about that for a second. You know, on the QT, everything probably is pretty squared away. But still, you're letting a company open your sealed laptop, boot it, put your username in, and God knows what else. I would be a little, as I think about this, first of all, I don't know why anybody, I know a lot of people want some convenience and everything, but have you let Best Buy touch your computer? Do you feel safe in letting them do so? So just kind of a little thought provoker for you here. And I don't want to, you know, say that Best Buy is doing anything. There's nothing to insinuate that at all, except the thought that potentially something could be put on. You know, you'd have, not by Best Buy themselves, but maybe an employee that would drop something into the PC. And, you know, there's a lot of risk there. And how far can we really trust humans or people that are actually doing these types of services to our computers? That's not, came out kind of weird, didn't it? But anyway, what do you think? Would you let... Have you done that? Have you let Best Buy update your computer or get it set up for you? Walk away with your machine and go some back room and plug it into something? Hey, we're on Extreme Tech. Linux is 20 years old today. 20 years ago today, Linus Torvalds introduced Linux to the world. And so this is pretty big. And so that's hard to believe that Linux is 20 years old today. Wow. That's pretty big. And he released a kernel for his 8386 computer, and he sent this out to the Minix mailing list, and he says, "Hey everybody, I'm doing a free operating system, just a hobby. Won't be a big and professional like GNU. This has been brewing since April and is starting to get ready. I'd like any feedback on things people like or dislike, as my OS resembles it somewhat. Same physical layout of the file system due to practical reasons, among other things." So, of course, that started the fast adoption by hundreds of thousands of people and of 100,000 administrators to use Linux on their server. It's hard to believe it's already been 20 years since we've seen the first version of Linux. A lot of companies are complaining about Mozilla and how they are rapid releasing Firefox. And once again, Mozilla chairperson over there, Mitchell Baker, believes it's worth it. She acknowledges that companies can have problems with the approach in which new browser versions arrive every 6 weeks, but goes on to say those problems are secondary compared to alternative of holding up new features for a year. She says a browser is the delivery vehicle for the internet, and the internet moves very, very quickly. Philosophically, I do not believe a product that moves at the speed of traditional desktop software can be effective enabling an internet where things happen in real time. If we want browsers to be the interface for the internet, we need to make it more like the internet. That means delivering capabilities when they are ready. That means a rapid release process. If we don't do something like this, the browser becomes a limiting factor in what the internet can do. All I know is almost all my plugins don't work on Firefox anymore because of this rapid release mentality that they've moved to, and I like it, but at the same time, all these plugins that I have no longer work. So is there an ulterior motive to it? I think they need to figure a way to help those folks that have plugins not become obsolete so quick, and not, you know, because basically they have, every time the rev rolls, the plugin has to be updated, say it's compatible and so forth, or it drops off your plugins, or you have to force it to install it and pray that it doesn't break something. So is that becoming an issue for you guys? And those same thing on Chrome, are you guys having the same issue on Chrome where plugins are being deinstalled because they're not compatible with the latest rev? Moving on here, there's a good article on GigaOm talking about cable still building out telcos in broadband subscribers. Here's how it breaks down in, let's see if I can get the browser to scroll nicely, talking about memory issues. So in second quarter 2011, there was a total of 271,842 new subscribers within the cable companies, but the telcos like AT&T, Verizon, Frontier, Windstream, Fairpoint, Cincinnati Bell, companies like that, only added 81,305. Total broadband at this point in the United States subscribers, a number about 77,380,000. So a pretty big number of subscribers within the United States, but we know that the telephone companies, especially see what's happening in Honolulu, are trying to compete, which is good. Thank goodness we're getting competition. Matter of fact, our governor of my state of Hawaii announced a broadband initiative this week where he wants by 2018, no, is it 2018 or 2020, one of the two, he wants the entire island to have 1 gigabit internet. I was like, okay, sounds cool to me, but why take so long? And I think he's got a big shoes to fill to try to make that happen that time. But he says that the internet is basically the speed of the internet in Hawaii is stifling innovation. I agree. And he feels that there should be easy, accessible 1 gigabit internet to all residents of the state of Hawaii. So we'll see. Again, big shoes to fill here. But I think some people, leaders, are finally waking up that, you know, this broadband stuff that we all love and we use definitely drives innovation, keeps things moving. Many, many, many years ago, I read a book about Kevin Mitnick when he was arrested for all the hacking he did. Boy, it would have been late 80s, early 90s. And he's written a new book, and I'm going to get my hands on it, called Ghost in the Wires. And he talks, I guess this is a new write about his days as a hacker. There was another book that he already wrote, again, that was pretty good before. And I'm hoping this is not just a reprint. I hope this is a new rendition. But if you haven't read this book, even though it's a time long gone, there's a lot of cool stuff in the original story, and maybe this is a reprint. But anyway, Ghost in the Wires is a book that's available. You should be able to pick it up digitally. And again, of course, for a time and a period, Kevin Mitnick was the world's most notorious and wanted hacker, and he did go to jail and serve some time for his hacking activities back in the day. The Russians, of course, were two for two in not getting a satellite in orbit, and second of all, not getting a Progress resupply ship to the International Space Station. They crashed it in Siberia. So there's a lot of raised eyebrows going around about the Russian space program right now. Russia may go ahead and launch another Soyuz rocket on Friday, despite the recent failures. But the International Space Station is going to be okay, I guess, for now, for supplies. They're going to send another Progress supply ship in October. But just goes to show you, we're very reliant on the Russians. And, you know, they're cranking these things out in a hurry. So I'm hoping that because they're having to build so many rockets and system, that quality control is not suffering. You know, but, you know, their program has been very successful over the past 20 plus years. And this is, matter of fact, this is the first failure in a very, very long time. And so anyway, we will see what happens if they do this launch tomorrow, and whether they make it to orbit okay. But let's hope the Russians can keep their quality control up, and we not have another Progress resupply ship, or worse yet, some astronauts lost on a future space shot. And I hope NASA's going over there and talking with them as well. In more science news, there's a shiny new supernova spotted in a nearby galaxy. It's only 25 million light years away. Boy, I scared you there for a second, didn't I? 25 light years, we may not survive a supernova on another with another star. But this is huge. A new type LA supernova has been identified in a spiral galaxy, again 25 million light years away, and this was spotted by Caltech's Palomar Transit Factory project. And they're pretty excited about this. And there are currently no comparisons of stars available in this particular field, so they're really going to be looking at this one close and see how it develops. But the fact that this supernova was spotted literally within a day of its occurrence, visibly speaking, of course, since this actually happened 25 million years ago, is pretty good for astronomers. We'll be able to have the opportunity to study the event, of course. And so this is good. So congratulations for catching that, and I'm sure we're going to hear more news on this. But boy, oh boy, relatively in our backyard, 25 million light years away, still pretty close for a supernova. For the deaf, Sony UK is developing subtitle glasses. This is pretty good. But sadly, for most hearing-impaired folks, when it comes to watching movies in the cinema, the choice is often limited to the types of movies being offered, because there's not been a lot of a closed caption available for them. So basically, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be putting subtitles, and they're going to be imposed or going to be transmitted through the glasses somehow. And this is good news here, so that the hearing impaired will be able to enjoy the cinema or the movie theaters just like everyone else, but instead using these glasses to be able to read what is being said. Okay, R2 is the robot that's up at the International Space Station. It's been sending tweets from space. If you're not following Robo2's account, it's actually Astro Robonaut at Astro Robonaut. Is now keeping its 43,000 followers updated about its activity in space. Of course, the R2 was designed to show how robots can cope in a weightless environment and will eventually be upgraded with the ability to get out of the space station to assist fellow astronauts on spacewalks. But for now, it remains fixed and stationary in the Destiny Laboratory. So the R2 is undergoing a power soak activity, which can is recharging its batteries or conditioning or something to that effect. But anyway, link will be up to this article in the show notes. Now imagine you go to school, you take your laptop to school, you get on the school network, you invoke some sort of a virus onto the network by mistake. The IT department takes your laptop to examine it. Now, of course, I don't know any school that lets you plug into the internet at a K-12 level, but apparently a high schooler, a 15-year-old boy, where was this located? I believe it was it in the UK? Gothenburg. So where's Gothenburg? I think this is in Switzerland. S-E. Anyway, the school's head teacher, after the IT technician discovered movies on the computer, turned the individual into the police department, and now this 15-year-old schoolboy is on trial for file sharing. And the principal said he had no choice but to inform the police, and the prosecutor says he has no choice but to take action. So here's the deal, folks. Don't be carrying any peer-to-peer software or music and connecting to any school in Switzerland for sure, but this is pretty crazy stuff. During an administrative hearing, the boy did admit downloading movies such as The Fighter, The Mechanic, The Social Network, but said he had no idea he was uploading to others at the same time. So anyway, this is a teacher turning a kid in for file sharing. We know that, of course, the feds have been taking down websites. And there's been, since February of 2011, authorities have been, did a third round of takedowns. The wave of seizures in February took down sites like Channel Surfing Net, HQ Streams, HQ Streams Net, First Row Net, Illimi.net, Roja Directa. So anyway, one of the individuals behind two domains, hqstreams.com and hqtaxstreams.net, has now been arrested. They've arrested the 19-year-old for streaming, restreaming sports events. And he's been charged with a single count of criminal copyright infringement. And the feds are saying today's arrest sends a clear message to website operators who mistakenly believe it's worth the risk to take copyrighted programming and portray it as their own, said ICE Director John Morton. He goes on to say protecting legitimate business interests are a priority for the for HSI. And the national... For HSI? Who the heck is HSI? Oh, Homeland Security Investigations. Oh, so they're actually Homeland Security Investigation. I guess that's a Department of Homeland Security. The National Intellect Property Rights Coordination Center and our law enforcement partner, we're dedicated to protecting the jobs, the income, and the tax revenue to disappear when organized criminals traffic in stolen content for their own profit. According to the criminal complaint, between February 2010 and January 2011, the individual showed events from the World Wrestling Federation and World Wrestling Entertainment and Ultimate Fighting Champion and other boxing events. Oh, this is where it gets sticky. He said that he charged people between $6, $12, and $25 to access links which would allow visitors to watch the events. Wow. So that may be part of it here. And he made approximately $6,000 on this. And boy, oh boy. So that's where they obviously they went after him in a big way because he was profiting from this. He knew he shouldn't be doing that. All right, let's talk about the Windows Phone. And I have to laugh here. They put an infographic together. And this, I'm just going to just go over a couple things in this. 1991 versus 2011. 1991, we all used Encyclopedia Britannica to write a research paper on the Soviet Union. In 2011, you get the latest facts and seconds with Bing voice search of the Wikipedia site. 1991, if you met a girl and you 1991, meet a girl you like and creep her out when you try to sleuth out whether she's got a boyfriend by parking outside her home. In 2011, use Facebook on your phone to find out if the new girl is already attached. 1991, send your friends postcards on your trip to Europe, arrive home before they ever get them. 2011, text, tweet, or email photos of yourself enjoying local culture and foreign lands. It just goes on and shows you how far we've come in just so few short years. 1991 versus 2011. Just a few short 20 years. Okay. You know, we're getting ready to send some rovers to Mars. And NASA's trying to figure out how to get HD video back from Mars and do it in a timely manner. So NASA's trying to overcome some limitations of radio frequency by testing a new communication system called a laser communication relay. LCR is a desired replacement because the optical laser communication system allows for much higher data transfer rates, retaining the same size, weight, and power requirements of existing RF system. It also means that smaller optical systems can transmit a decent data rate too, but save on power, weight, and size onboard satellites. So that's interesting. They're going to truly beam stuff home via the speed of light, which is pretty cool. And they're going to be doing some tests with some satellites that are already being planned to be put up and linking them back to a ground station in Hawaii. It's a pretty cool stuff. Sorry, I'm yawning. I have not gotten much sleep while I've been here in Albuquerque this trip. I have had very little sleep. You know, John C. Dvorak is quite the character. Of course, him and Adam Curry do the No Agenda show, which has become very popular. And boy, I tell you, they have a fan base there that is unbelievable. And the amount of money that they donate to that show, it's quite remarkable. And I applaud everything that they've done over there. But Dvorak wrote an article in PC Mag talking about Windows 8 and the concern he has on where the operating system's going, and also some talk about GUIs on Apple as well. And basically he's saying that we're all being forced into a new way of surfing the net and using our PCs, and he just wonders how everyone's going to react to it, and hopefully that they can do something innovative here. But I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. There is a pretty good article over on GigaOhm talking about watching video podcasts on your Apple TV. And, of course, we encourage you to watch this show on your Apple TV if you have one. It irritates me. It says, new content providers like Mevio, Revision 3, and Twit are now competing directly with established networks like NPR. Well, where's Tech Podcast and where's Blueberry? Come on, GigaOhm. Is Mevio still in the podcasting business? I don't even know, to be honest with you. But anyway, there's a good write-up here on accessing video podcasts directly from the Apple TV and how you can do it and how you subscribe from iTunes and managing update subscriptions and home sharing. There's some extra steps. And, of course, if you don't want to have to go through those extra steps, you can always use the Roku device. But you can watch a variety of video podcast right on your Apple TV as well, and they walk you through that process. Okay, if you've got Windows 7, there's been a hot fix for a Service Pack 1 issue, so make sure you get your updates for your Windows software. as well. The Zune software has been updated in anticipation of the Mango release. So Google Chrome could not load the specific web page. Oh, wait a minute. I'm on a Making Windows Easy website, and there's a little notice here that says Chrome could not load all this web page because it took too long. Is that a little slam against across from Microsoft or whatever? I don't know. But anyway, the update for Windows Phone 7 to 7.5 is a big update, so definitely look out for that for the Zune software. And I don't know too much about Rob. Are you listening? What are you guys doing with this Mango update? Or does someone in the audience have a Windows Phone 7 and can kind of clue me in? I'm be honest with you, I'm kind of lost on what they're doing with Windows Phone, with the Windows Phone, and I just don't know anybody that has one. And I use the Zune software, so I guess I can check that out, but. I'm not at all up to speed on what's going on with Windows Phone 7. How many of you are still dealing with a lot of paper? The folks over at lifehacker.com have a great write-up on ways to go digital and tells you what you should save in paper copy and what you are safe to go ahead and convert into digital or just shred. So anyway, I have a link up to this in the show notes. This is a good write-up. And, you know, obviously things like Social Security cards, birth certificates, passports, you don't want to make digital copies of those. You want to keep those in paper form and some tax receipts and so forth as well. But I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Here's a question for all of you. Do you agree with this statement? Always do your very best in your job, but if you don't like what you're doing enough that you would do it for free, quit. Is that a realistic statement? And this is another article on Life Hacker, and it's about a commencement speech and advice that was given when his brother-in-law received his law degree from Yale. And here was the advice that the students or the graduates were given. An hour of sleep before midnight is worth two, and an hour of work before noon is worth two. What if I do an hour of work before 6 a.m.? Is that worth three? Second thing, always pick up your kids from school. That's when they want to talk. Never let your skill exceed your virtue. Okay. Never take less than 2 weeks off when you have a child or for your honeymoon. Don't let them talk you down. I agree with that as well. When you mess up, admit it frankly and quickly and move on. And again, this last piece of advice, always do your very best in your job. But if you don't like what you're doing enough that you wouldn't do it for free, quit. Again, I think that sounds pretty extreme. I think a lot of people are stuck in jobs that they really can't leave. They can't afford to leave or too afraid to leave. In this economy, you don't know if you're going to have another job to go to. So how many of you have left a job because you hated it? Or are you stuck in a job that you hate, that you can't leave because the economy is so bad? I'm sure there's a good number of you in both camps. Love to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, I want to talk about Carbonite here for just a second. Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you're online. When you have your inevitable disaster, Carbonite makes it easy to get your backed up files back with just a few clicks. Carbonite has helped restore over 7 billion computer files that otherwise might have been lost forever. With Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer or on your smartphone or iPad with a free app. Unlimited backup of your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access is only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. It's easy to get started. And here's what I want you guys to do. If you haven't done a trial for us on this, I want you to do a trial for us, all right? Go out and get your trial of Carbonite. Help the show out. I definitely appreciate it. Go download it, get signed up. This is what you can do to get that free 15-day trial. Start your 15-day trial at Carbonite.com. No credit cards required. Use offer code TPN and you'll get 2 months free if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com and the offer code for 2 free months is TPN. We'd really appreciate it if you went out there and did this trial for us. Go out there and give it a run for the money. Use the promo code TPN. I think within 2 or 3 days of having installed, you're going to say, why in the world have I not been using this up to this point? All right, go out and give it a try. Give Carbonite a try. They're a great sponsor here. We want to make sure that we do good for them. And with your trial of Carbonite, I think that you'll help us out into making them a happy sponsor as well. So give it a try and use that promo code TPN. All right, last 3 or 4 articles here. Sprint may be getting iPhone 5. Not definite, but a very big rumor. So we'll see what happens with this. It very well could come. So I'm thinking more likely that T-Mobile is going to get a phone than Sprint. But there is some hints that Sprint made via the Wall Street Journal. Also, there's some pretty cool product called Playgo. Basically, Playgo USB adapter, which is available for about $36, allows you to connect your Mac or Windows PC via USB to your stereo wirelessly. So one of these devices plugs into your computer, the other device wires up into your stereo, and you can actually push audio to your stereo. Pretty cool little product here. And, the price. Up to 4 receivers can work with one PC, and price for the Duo and its bundled cables, $399. So it's a little bit more pricey. I saw that $36 mark. I was like, whoa, that's cheap. But no, it is $399 to wire up to 4 different audio systems up to a range of 75 feet. How many of you have a hammock? How many of you are going camping and would like to sleep in your hammock? Well, the folks over at Gizmodo have found the perfect, absolute perfect accessory for a hammock. For $120, you can have a tent for your hammock. I love sleeping in hammocks. There's no better way to sleep when you're camping than in a hammock. It keeps you off that hard ground. You don't have to worry about a rock sticking you in the back. And the only thing that stopped me is from being ate and alive by mosquitoes. Now you can have a tent for your hammock and you eat best of both worlds. This is huge. So if you're going camping, this might be a good $120 investment. Link will be in the show notes for you. Okay, that wraps it up for content tonight. Kind of a short program in the scheme of things, 53 minutes here, because really there wasn't a lot of content. This Steve Jobs dominated the news, but I do have a number of emails. I do have one voicemail here that I will play. Let me go ahead and play that now, and then we'll get into the actual emails as well. So here we go.
Hey, Todd, this is Richard Heisel. I'm subscribed to your podcast, and I was watching show 696, and you were talking about the new Amazon student program. As a matter of fact, I just signed up for that today, and you don't have to pay for it, but if you do want the 2-day shipping, you have to join the Amazon Prime account program. And if you are subscribed as a student, they will knock the Amazon Prime down from $75 a month or $75 a year to the $30-some dollars a year for 4 years or until you graduate. I just wanted to add that comment. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hey, thanks for that, and thanks for the feedback. I know he had called one more time, too. He's got another segment here. Let me go ahead and play that, and then I'll comment on both the calls.
Hey, Todd. Richard Heisel again on the show 696 about the Amazon Prime. If you need my contact information.
Oh, okay. I Thanks for that. I don't want to reveal your contact information. Yeah, so far as it goes on the student program from Amazon, very good. Let me know how it goes and what kind of savings you see on your purchases there. I would appreciate it to see, you know, what the delta is from what's available in the library at the school or what is available in the bookstore as compared to what you can get through the Amazon student program. So good luck with that and keep us informed on what kind of money you save. I got an email here from Bill. He says, "Hey, Todd, great podcast. I've been listening since show 500 or so." He said, "Podcast 697, he talked about the kid from Tampa who was planning on bombing his school. He saw the FBI surveillance van on his phone and didn't catch on that they might be watching him." Yeah, he's not too smart. You have to question the FBI's intelligence for naming the RSSID FBI surveillance van. Why in the world would they do that? They might as well have FBI in bold letters on their van. Bill in Venice, Florida. I agree, Bill, but I'm glad they got that kid nonetheless. Got an email here from Frank. He says, "School district settles with a 4 student, no other cases anticipated." This is in response to the Marion School District, which had the webcam spying that was going on. Got another email here from Frank. He says, "Hey, your item about the toothbrush, toothpaste, tube squeezer made me smile. Back in the olden days when I was a youngin', toothpaste came in metal tubes. Little devices similar to cotter pins with thumb screw heads were available. I think I still have some of those around somewhere. But anyway, sometimes manufacturers gave them away with a toothpaste purchase. You slipped the clip over the end of the tube and you turned it up to squeeze out the toothpaste, assuring you that the tube was completely empty and new toothpaste went to waste. They fell out of common use when plastic tubes came to dominate the market. In fact, I found to my surprise that they were still available. I found one at Amazon. It's not quite like the ones I remember, but it's close enough." Thanks, Frank. Appreciate that. Got an email here from Rob. Ron, he's a buddy of mine in Hawaii. He said, "Hey, Todd, got this from KGMB today." And it's basically about what the governor considers ultra high speed. Well, Ron, we know now that the governor basically said he wants 1 gigabit capabilities for the communities. You know, so I haven't seen much more on this. This wasn't carried large. It was covered on 2 or 3 sites in Hawaii. So I'm looking forward to getting back and talking to people and know about this. But anyway, if he can actually make it happen, boy, it'd be the first time he's actually done something worthwhile. So we'll see. All right, got an email here from Alan. And he says, "I guessed..." Okay. "I had forwarded them, my blogging team, an article that I was sent immediately after the earthquake on the East Coast, and basically this company was trying to capitalize on the fact that people were having trouble with their cell phone business. And I had basically wrote in the email I sent to the bloggers, 'Well, here's an opportunist for you.' And anyway, he says, 'For the record, my family and I are in Williamsburg, Virginia this week. We're less than 100 miles from the epicenter and felt only a mild rattling. Strangely, that same mild rattle was felt all the way to New England. Apparently, the geology of the area is such that one ripple carries for insanely long distance. I'm reading this one very long sheet of bedrock that it wrote on, Alan." So, Alan, yeah, and for those of you on the East Coast, you know, I think all of us that have been through a number of earthquakes were kind of chuckling about the hysteria to a certain extent that happened for folks that had never experienced an earthquake before. But welcome to the club, those of you on the East Coast that felt that. And Alan, who's in from the UK, congratulations for having to be able to experience one as well. All right, I got an email from Billy, and he says, and this is about the email reading problem. He says, "Todd, I think you hit it right on the head when you said that you notice people don't read long emails. I've noticed the same thing about attention span and email. As someone who tends to write long emails, if you consider 3 to 5 paragraphs long, this tends to be a problem for me. If you have a number of questions for a person, they will tend to only answer one of the questions, forgetting about the rest. What's worst is that the questions they answer is not always the first one, so you can't go around this problem by putting the most important questions first. I think the reason for this is my current biggest problem, that being the lack of time. There's just so much time There's just so much to do with so little time to do it in. The thing is, a lot of the time is spent keeping up with all the news about whatever things we're interested in. The amount of stuff that we have to go through is growing so fast that we simply can't keep up with it. I have started using podcasts as a filter to reduce the number of articles I have to read, as I can listen to podcasts while doing other things while reading is a focused task. The speed things are moving today, it's still hard to keep up. The tools are simply not keeping pace with the information. So the problem isn't that the people have short attention spans. It is that everything happening around them is forcing them to have shorter attention spans. Okay, so I'll say that again. The tools are simply not keeping up with the pace of the information. So the problem isn't that people have shorter attention spans. It is that everything happening around them is forcing them to have short. I agree. Okay, so now what the solution? Now not sure what the solution to this problem is. Perhaps trying to keep my email shorter will also help. So this email is only two paragraphs. Thanks, Billy. I appreciate that. I think so. We all have shorter attention spans. Got an email here from Jeff. He said, "Hey, Todd, you may have probably thought of this, but I was listening to your podcast where you're discussing the plank owner mock-ups and you're not happy with the size and weight of the mock-ups. Maybe you should consider little surfboards. That is what I think of when I think of Hawaii. You could possibly find a local who could make them for you. Just a thought. Take care and keep up the good work." Jeff, this is a really good idea because you can buy mini surfboards and you could put a little plaque on them. You may be onto something here, Jeff. Much better than these big, heavy planks that I got to figure out how to ship and deal with. So you may have a winner here, okay? Got an email from Scott. He said, "Hey, Todd, I heard in your show that you're looking for a fog horn sound effect. I thought I might be able to help you out by suggesting freesound.org. This is a good one. Hey, all sounds are public domain and have the license information linked to the file. Really cool preview feature, too. Hope it helps you out. You may not remember, but I wrote a whole bunch of stuff for you once about how to hook up a phone interface and mix it with PC audio for your show." Yeah, I remember that, Scott. Thanks so much, and thanks for still being part of the family here and being part of the Ohana. Okay, I got a couple more entries. Actually, I got a dozen or so entries for the show 700 contest. Thanks for everybody for responding to that. I'll have the show 700 questions in the show notes tonight, so you'll definitely be able to be involved and respond to that. So I'm hand-spooning feeding y'all, so y'all have no excuses not to be involved in the show 700 contest. And if you want to win something, you got to reply to the email. Otherwise, tough. Okay, no passes. But anyway, thanks everyone for sending stuff in. And of course, thanks for hanging out with me today on the show. We'll be back in the regular studio on Monday for show 700. We'll have a lot of fun with that. I hope you join me live. Stay up late. We'll get started at 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, 11 a.m. on Pacific Time, or 8 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time. Everyone take care. We'll see you the next go-around. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Take care, and aloha.